You're listening to Leafs Lunch with Julia Tucheri and Michael DeStefano on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Happy Thursday, everyone. It's a Leafs game day here in Toronto. They have the red hot New Jersey Devils. I was thinking of some sort of pun to make there, re the Devils, and yeah, I didn't get there. I didn't get there, but
I don't know if that was enough to get up, but don't.
No, I definitely didn't deserve it, but you can tell that the gears were kind of turning upstairs, and I was like, how do I make a joke about the devil and where he lives and them being red hot right now? But either way, they're on a 10-game heater. Just ask one Jack Hughes. He's not afraid to tell you. So the Leafs should have their hands full tonight.
Oh, they absolutely will. I mean, this team is right now one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League. Like you noted, they've won 10 games in a row, and they're playing well, and they just overwhelm teams.
Yeah.
Realistically, like they've got so much depth right now, and the way that their team is constructed, they're getting scoring from everybody, from all four lines. They're getting some solid defending, and Vitek Vanacek, who's going to be in net tonight, has been a solid goaltender. He's got a save percentage, I think 915, like a 210 goals against. He's been real solid for this club, and they're one of the hottest teams, well, the hottest team in the NHL.
Yeah, you can crown them that for sure. We're going to have Craig Button on in the next couple minutes. We'll continue to talk and tee up this game between the Leafs and Devils tonight. Ken Danica will join us, see if we could pick his brain on what's going on in Jersey and how they got so red hot all of a sudden. It's not that they changed too much about their roster either, AB. They added some pieces around a core that they really believed in, and it seems to have made all the difference this year for them.
Well, it's a couple of things. Health.
Yeah.
They've been decimated by injuries the last couple of seasons. Like, as they're trying to build up this young core, Nico Hischier's had a tough time staying on the ice, and Jack Hughes has had, you know, some injury history in the past.
He's
missed a couple
of
weeks here and there. Dougie Hamilton, didn't he, like, shatter his shin or something like that last year? He missed some time with them, and then the goaltending has always been very up and down. But a lot of it's starting to come together for them, and when everything comes together, it's a pretty good squad on paper. And with everybody firing, it's led to this 10-game winning streak, and you know, Toronto gonna have their hands full tonight. I think that when you look at the Devils and when you're trying to look at this matchup, how can Toronto try and I guess put an end to the streak in the same vein that they did with the other East-leading Boston Bruins a couple weeks ago?
Right.
You know, this is a team that likes to play with speed, so I think they're going to have to try and buckle down and play a very defensive game. Like, we were having this conversation with Chris Horvat, who's our technical producer, but also the producer of gameplay, and he's thinking, oh, I think this game could go over. It could be a bit of a track meet. I'm not sure that I subscribe to that. Yes, both of these teams are incredibly skilled, but how often do we see those matchups go under the number a lot because everybody knows how skilled and dangerous they are? So they kind of just hunker down defensively and try not to make a mistake, try not to make that turnover, and they make the right simple plays and then just wait and capitalize, and we end up with low scoring games. I almost feel like that's how Toronto needs to play this one tonight as well.
Yeah, you know, there are some parallels between these two teams, and they almost make me think a little bit about the Leafs when their core was a little touch younger. We've heard a lot about the way New Jersey plays team defense so well as well, and that's a nod that the Leafs get when they're playing well as well. You mentioned a track meet, AB, and that kind of walks us right to an exciting development from morning skate. This is the way that we were hoping it would pan out. Ilya Samsonov's still out, though he was on the ice today. Sheldon Keefe gave the update that he's probably going to need at least two more games to be fully back to form. But, AB, Matt Murray, between the pipes tonight, he took part in a very brief morning skate today, and then it was announced that he's going to be the starter with Shalgren backing him up.
Well, if we go behind the curtain a little bit, there were some, like, raised eyebrows when we saw that Matt Murray was not participating in the actual practice.
Well, it was weird. Yeah, so we went onto the ice, based on what we understand via the reporting that we saw online, and we're going to have Mark Masters, who was at morning skate, on in the next couple of minutes. Matt Murray went on the ice before morning skate, got some work in, and it was actually Samsonov in the net during morning skate. But not a bad idea to keep Matt Murray rested, I suppose.
I
get him the work in that he needs to get in.
That's what it is, right? Keep him ready to go. He's got to play tonight. Last time he had a morning skate ahead of a game, it didn't go so well.
Okay, we can't go there.
So let's just, you know, be safe, and you know, allow him just to get the quick quick little sweat he needs, and then get him off the ice, get him ready to go for a tough game tonight against the Devils.
Absolutely. It's the Devils and the Leafs tonight at Scotiabank Arena. And with that, let's bring in our TSN Director of Scouting, Craig Button. Craig, how's it going?
It's going good, Julia. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing well this fine Thursday. We finally kind of, well, I can't say caught up to you in terms of snow, but we at least have some on the ground now.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I'm in Cabo San Lucas. I'm looking out
my
window.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't see any snow. I'm looking at, I got the binoculars out now. I don't see snow anywhere. Sorry.
Now you're just teasing us, so I'll get you back. Did you think Noodles had a nicer shiner than you on the panel the other night, or do you think yours was a little tougher from your pickleball incident?
You know what? I think we should put it to a vote. I think you should have a Leafs Lunch vote. Let's see what the poll says. I will say this. Jamie was kind of an innocent
bystander
there. The
right.
I was competing. I was on the court spilling blood competing. He just was standing there. I think that mine's way more worthy.
I agree.
That's
yours
valid.
Was a sports-related injury. His was just kind of being an observer of the game in a way. I agree. I like yours a little bit better. In conversation.
Maybe I had 9 stitches. I took 9 stitches.
Oh, true. I don't think he had to get stitched up. I think he got a little cut, but he definitely didn't have to get stitched up.
No, that's
so
true.
Craig, you win that one.
Yeah.
He was able to carry on with his work. I mean, I wanted to keep playing, but they said, no, we've got to take you to the hospital. And, you know, they dragged me off the pickleball court.
Love it. Absolutely love it, Craig. So tonight, or this morning, we were kind of having this chat before you came on. Matt Murray had a little bit of a morning skate and then ended up leaving once practice really began. It sounds as though he's going to play tonight, though, so not an injury situation. So maybe perhaps the team just being cautious with him, just knowing his injury history. Do you like this move that the Maple Leafs are doing here?
Well, it's game day, right? So I think with game day, and I think the morning skate is the dumbest thing going in hockey, in terms of it being mandatory. You know, players, if you want to get out there and just get a feel and just handle the puck, get a feel for equipment, skates, just get a sweat going, whatever, I get it, right? So Matt Murray, he knows what he needs to do to be ready for the game tonight. So if it means he goes out for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever he's comfortable with, that's to me up to him. Now, you get ready, go and have your little skate, go and have lunch, your nap, and be ready to go tonight. That's how I look at it. I think the most meaningless thing in hockey is the morning skate.
Well, that's good to know. That is good to note then. Matt Murray gets a start tonight, and everyone's excited about that to see how he fares tonight. First time he'll actually start a regular season game in Toronto as a Maple Leaf. His other two have been on the road, so it's very exciting. What's more important, though, Craig, is that the team in front of him plays well. The blue line is a little bit decimated with injury right now. The Leafs are going to be without TJ Brody for a second straight game. They fared pretty well without him in their first showing against Pittsburgh. But what kind of hole does TJ Brody leave on the Leafs' blue line? The more we look at it, the more we're convinced that he's their most important defenseman.
Wow, I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty big statement saying he's more important.
I know, you got to unpack it with us.
Well,
it seems like he fixes everyone that he plays with.
That's the thing. Like, I think Morgan Rielly is certainly the most skilled defenseman and probably the best defenseman. But in terms of what TJ Brody does and brings to the team, you know, that's really tough to replicate.
I don't disagree with it, but Morgan Rielly's your most important defenseman. He's your best defenseman. He's your most important defenseman. You know what? That's not to diminish what TJ Brody brings to the team, because he's a really good part. Basically, what it does with TJ Brody out of the lineup, you have a number one defenseman, a top pair defenseman in Morgan Rielly, and then you got bottom pair defensemen through the rest of the lineup. That's a real challenge when you're missing a 2, 3, and 4. And that calls on the team to play collectively better, to collectively insulate, you know, the defensemen that are going to be put into situations that are, you know, beyond their abilities, beyond their capabilities to a certain extent. You ask them, you know, this is when the term less is more comes into play. You're not asking them to go and replace TJ Brody or to be like Jake Muzzin, or you're asking them to just go play your game, go and be smart about things, you know, manage your shifts, you know, and don't try to overextend yourself trying to do more than you're capable of doing. So I think that that's a big key in terms of the defensemen and the messaging that needs to go to those defensemen, because what TJ Brody does in his 20-plus minutes is really significant. And, you know, without that, You know, your players are going to have to play those minutes, and they're going to have to literally manage those minutes, and that becomes a real challenge when you start to have to patch on the blue line and you scale players up the lineup in the different slottings. You know, that puts some stress into your blue line core, and it puts some stress on the goaltending. So simple. Less is more. That's what I would say to the defense group without TJ Brody.
Yeah, Kyle Dubas had kind of an interesting take on all the injuries when he came out and spoke when they were talking about Jake Muzzin. He said something along the lines of he actually looks at all of these injuries happening at the beginning of the season a positive thing because you learn a lot about your roster and who can handle it and who can't. Do you kind of look at it the same way?
Yeah, you do. I mean, I think the Toronto Maple Leafs, like every team, have a pretty good handle on the capabilities of their team. What it does is it gives players a chance to get into the lineup and to show that maybe they're capable of a little bit more. But just because you're getting an opportunity because of an injury doesn't mean you're capable of being a top pair defenseman or scaling up to a second pair defenseman, a number three or whatnot. But it, to Kyle's point, it does give you that opportunity. I would suggest that the biggest, and this is, you know, through a negative becomes a positive. You know, having these things happen earlier accumulates a lot more long-term injury room and space to acquire players. And I think that, you know, from a cap point perspective, you know, that's also a benefit. Not that that's a benefit you're looking to have, but it's one that's accrued now to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, you talk about acquiring players, and Kyle Dubas came out a couple of days ago when Muzzin went down and said, well, before we go out into the trade market, we first want to see what we have internally with both Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren. It hasn't gone great for those two, and you know, maybe more specifically, Sandin's had a couple of rough games here of late. I mean, what do you think that these two, and Sandin maybe more particular, need to do to get back on track?
Well, I don't want to overuse the term, you know, less is more. What happens is when they get scaled up the lineup, they become more vulnerable because they have some, there's aspects of the game that aren't strong enough for them to handle more challenging moments in the game. Listen, Kyle can talk all he wants about, you know, evaluating players. They don't have a Jake Muzzin type. They can evaluate till now, till the end of time. If they want a player like Jake Muzzin, they better go and get one, but they have none in the organization. None.
No so, love for Jordy Benn?
Well, Jordy Benn's a 6'7 defense.
I know.
Exclusively the beard. Here. Exclusively
okay.
The beard.
Okay. I love Jordy Benn. Let's be very clear on what Jordy Benn is, okay? Let's be very clear. You know, bottom line is, just the blue line right now, without Jake Muzzin, the type of player he is, think about what Live Bushkin brought to this team last year. It was pretty significant. They have to look outside the organization to find a Jake Muzzin type. It's great. You scale players up the lineup, you're going to get exposed. And the longer they get scaled up the lineup, the more they're going to get exposed. That's the bottom line. Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren are 4 or 5 defensemen in my view at best. They're not top 3 defensemen. That's what they are. Can they become more comfortable? Can they become more accomplished? They'll become a lot more accomplished with a TJ Brody in the lineup and a Jake Muzzin type in the lineup than without them. Because now they're extended, and they're extended to a great extent. And like you take an elastic band and you keep stretching it, it breaks. That's what happens to a blue line, too, when you stretch it and extend it.
So what do you think are reasonable expectations for Jordy Benn, then, the most recent grizzled blue liner that Leafs Nation has really come to like over a short period of time?
Here's what I would say, Julian. It's real simple. And give me what you have. I'm not going to ask you to give me more, but don't give me less than what you have. Go in, be smart, be competitive, do the things. And from a coaching point of view, and sometimes a coach doesn't have an opportunity to put a player into the ideal situation because of injuries, because of circumstances, certainly what the Maple Leafs. But still, you know what? We're not going to critique you unfairly if you can't handle situations that we have to put you in. But the situations that you're capable of handling, handle them. Handle them well, handle them smartly, and do exactly that. And I don't have any question that Jordy Benn can do that. But that's what you're asking him to do. But that's what he is, and that's how you got to manage it. But like I said, when a blue line gets stretched thin, players get extended beyond their capabilities, and that becomes a real challenge for any team.
We're chatting with Craig Butner, TSN hockey analyst, and you know, on the theme of you know, guys who maybe aren't giving enough for this team, Callie Yarncroke is a player who the Maple Leafs really pursued this offseason, and we haven't talked about him a whole lot on the show, but for me, Craig, I feel like he hasn't quite lived up to the hype that maybe the Leafs, based on the pursuit of him, and made him a real priority this offseason. What have you made of Callie Yarncroke's first month and a half in a Maple Leafs uniform?
So I'm going to circle back with you, AD. What do you think Callie Yarncroke is?
Well, I thought that he would kind of be a little bit of an upgrade or similar to what Alex Kerfoot could bring you. Someone with some versatility who could kill penalties and you know, have a little bit of a scoring touch. But I just haven't quite been enamored with what he's been able to bring.
Okay, so again, so expectations. Like, Callie Yarncroke to me I call him a utility player.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's a utility player. He can play right wing. He can play center. You know, he can kill penalties. He can play in different spots of your lineup. Found the lineup. You keep in mind, the Calgary Flames, I thought when they traded for him last year, I thought it was a really good acquisition. And I'll say this, if you're expecting a lot of offense from Callie Yarncroke, you're going to be disappointed all the time. That's not his game. His game is being a smart player that keeps playing your favor as the game goes on, you know, trying to carry play, trying to be, you know, a smart, tenacious player against the opposition so, you know, they're not taking advantage of you. That's what he is. Alex Kerfoot is a 40, 45-point scorer. Again, I think Alex Kerfoot's a better player than Callie Yarncroke because he can scale up the lineup. I don't think Callie Yarncroke can scale up the lineup. I think that he's right in that 7-8 hole, 8-9 hole, whatever third line guy. And I don't think he was ever going to be anything more than that. But yet, it seems that when he was in Detroit, oh yeah, he'll produce more offensively. When he was in Nashville, he'll produce more offensively. You know, he ends up coming over to the Calgary Flames. No, he's not going to produce offensively. And there's some players that despite what your expectations are, what your projections are, there becomes a reality of what they are. And I think what you see from Callie Yarncroke is exactly what he is. So if you expected more, be disappointed. But for me, I think he's provided them exactly what they need at the dollar point.
Yeah, a lot of line shuffling going around as head coach Sheldon Keefe just tries to find the perfect mix to really make this thing find some harmony. And since we last spoke, Craig, he's opted to split up Matthews and Marner, and they've found some success in doing so. But in saying that, do you predict that these two will find their way back to one another eventually?
Yes. Julia, here's what I think. I mean, you're looking at the first team all-star right wing the last two seasons in Mitch Marner. You're looking at a 60-goal scorer, the Hart Trophy winner, first team all-star center, that played together. I get that you split them up at different points, just try to, you know, give them a little bit of a different rhythm and everything. But when you've had that much success together, and remember, we're not talking about success we're talking success at a league level that's right at the top. Right at the top. So, yeah, they'll be back together.
I'd imagine. So the thing that I do enjoy about the way that they've played apart from each other is that it does spread out the scoring a little bit. And we've seen times last year where Tavares and Nylander, for whatever reason, go on those cold spells. And last year they were able to get through it because that top line was scoring at such an elite pace. But with them not doing that early in the year, I do like the whole balanced scoring approach. But I'm with you, Craig, where eventually, yes, I believe they will go back to that. But for now, I don't see why you would really entertain that if they continue to score and put up 4 5-on-5 goals like they did the other night in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, there's going to be times you try to have a little bit of a different look for opponents. You try to spark the players in different ways to, you know, sometimes what familiarity does is you start to rely on a little bit. So even with Sheldon making that change, it kind of gets the players a little bit more on their toes, a little bit more focused. I don't have the same comfort level with familiarity with Mitch and Mitch with Austin, and it just gives different players a different opportunity to help you in a different way. So and then as you point out, AD, with the success that the team is having and the individuals they're having, you know, ride that. And, you know, it's the, I mean, Sheldon Keefe isn't putting things in concrete and saying this is the way it's going to be. He just said, hey, at this moment in time, adjustments, trying to make a little bit of a maneuver here to help the team and help the individuals. That's all positive, and I think that that's a real key part of coaching. But again, when I go back to it, I mean, they're top players, and we're top players together. And, you know, I use the line. When it comes to Austin and Mitch, 1 + 1 = 3, maybe 4.
We're chatting with Craig Butner, TSN hockey analyst, and Leafs taking on the Devils tonight, who pose a big challenge for the Maple Leafs. They're the hottest team in hockey. They've won 10 games in a row. What's going to be the formula to stop in this group?
The New Jersey Devils, there's nothing accidental about what they're doing. They are tops in offense. They are tops in defense. And, you know, and that's reflected in the statistical numbers. It's right there in all the metrics, however you want to define it. It's all there for the New Jersey Devils. They are quick. They are fast. They are tenacious. But they use all those elements in a highly productive and cohesive manner. You know, it's funny, Lindy Ruff is coaching the team now, and I'm watching the New Jersey Devils, and they give me a lot of the same look as his Buffalo Sabres mm-hmm. teams back in, you know, coming out of the lockout up to 2010 or right up thereabouts, you know, where they were a hard team to play against. They had a ton of success because they used that speed and they used their skill in a really effective and cohesive manner. That's what the New Jersey Devils are doing. They're getting really good goaltenders for Vitek Vanacek, who I think is a really good goaltender. Again, moving into that age where you're ready to take advantage, but this is a team that it's one thing to say you're fast. Oh, they're fast. They're fast, and they use that speed to great effect and to great advantage. Toronto Maple Leafs are going to have to be really up to the pace and the speed and quickness that the New Jersey Devils play at. And the other thing I will say about the New Jersey Devils is they have an attack mentality. They're coming after you. They're coming after you. So you got to be ready to be in a mindset at the beginning of the game and throughout the game where they're in attack mode. And they're never stopping. They could be behind by a goal. They could be up by two. They could be up by three. They're coming at you.
Yeah, I think everyone expected this team to take a step this year, but it's been like a leap and a bound, more than a step. If you could point to one thing, Craig, that looks really different about this group from last year, what would it be? It can't be as simple as just maturing from last season.
It can be, though, Julia.
Okay.
It can be. You know, players now, you know, have a better understanding of the league. They're older, they're more mature, but also you also look at how the team is built and different players in different spots, right? So, you know, when you consider, you know, you got Dougie Hamilton. He was hurt last year at different points. I mean, he's a frontline defenseman. And he's a big part of that. So, you know, having Dougie in the lineup is really significant. You know, there might not be, we were just talking about Jake Muzzin. Jonas Siegenthaler might not get a lot of love in terms of being sexy and everything.
Yeah,
he's a really effective player. He's a really effective player. And so now you're looking at a player that's got some size and skating ability, a real competitor deeper down your blue line core. Well, that gives other players. John Marino. John Marino's been a great addition. You know, coming over from the Pittsburgh Penguins, you talk about taking advantage. Pittsburgh wanted to get Petrie. They wanted to try to change the composition of the blue line, so John Marino became available. Well, the New Jersey Devils, my God. Hamilton, Marino, Siegenthaler, those are all big guys that can skate and compete and offer different things. Obviously, the maturity of Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, Jesper Brass, Trigger. But this is a really good team. And the other thing that I would say, Julia, the goaltending.
Right.
Goaltending last year was unreliable and undependable. Vitek Vanacek, healthy, has shown that he's given them exactly what they need. Because earlier on in the year, the New Jersey Devils were struggling because the goaltending wasn't right there. It's there right now, and so they're firing out on all cylinders.
Yeah, at least definitely going to have their hands full tonight with the Devils who come to town. We're chatting with Craig Butner, TSN hockey analyst and former general manager in the NHL. And I'm curious, because we saw this report coming out on Insider Trading the other day. The Sharks willing to potentially listen on some Erik Karlsson offers. How cautious would you be, Craig, if you were a GM in the league and pursuing Erik Karlsson, knowing what, you know, the past couple of seasons has been like before this renaissance year?
Okay, so we know that Eric was hurt, right? We know that Eric was hurt. He had some injuries. He's back playing very healthy. He played pretty decently last year, pretty well actually last year, a lot of stretches. So that being said, I mean, EK65 is in elite form. I don't really care about the last number of years. I mean, I think with his brain, if it's skating and everything continues to be, things can be really fine. But when you're looking at four more years after this year at $11.5 million cap hit as a player turns 33 at the conclusion of this season, good luck trying to factor that in. So to me, if he was in the last year of his contract or had 1 year left on his contract, I'd be all over him. I'd be all over Erik Karlsson because he's a difference maker. But with 4 years after this year and $11.5 million, and I think the most the least salary in a year he gets with signing bonus and salary is $9 million. So it's not like you're getting a $3 million salary towards the end of the contract. That's significant dollars, and it's long term. That's what I'd be looking at. Erik Karlsson the player, be all over him. Erik Karlsson the player with that contract, I'd just say, buyer beware.
Yeah,
I'd agree, and it'll be interesting to see if anybody does roll the dice there. You know, it's the National Hockey League. We've seen some strange things when it comes to trades and some big leaps of faith, and that certainly kind of would be a bit of a leap of faith, so we'll see what happens there. Craig, always appreciate the conversations, and we'll chat again next week. Enjoy your weekend.
We will. I will enjoy.
Enjoy the beach.
I will, and if it snows, Julia, I'll send you pictures.
Okay, I got to see that if so.
All right, take care, Craig.
See you later.
There he goes. Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst. Uncle Craig.
I had no idea he was on the beach right now.
Oh, I wish. We were talking about this yesterday. I hate snow so much.
I know.
I know I'm a Canadian, suck it up, buttercup, but I really, really do wish that we had, California weather. Year-round, never have to buy a jacket.
Even if it was just a touch more reasonable, lengthwise of the winter and the amount of snow and the level of cold.
Give me snow for, that two-week span where kids are off for Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
You can give me snow in that little pocket. Outside of that, get out of here.
Wasn't that the best day ever when it was snowing on the last day of, school before Christmas vacation?
Oh, because you knew, tomorrow I'm hitting the hills.
Yeah. And they're sending us outside. We're going to have a pizza party. We're going to decorate some cookies, and they're going to throw us outside in the yard to build some snowman.
Snowball fight.
Yeah.
I don't know if you used to do this, but me and my buddies, we would build massive, not snowmen, but we would roll big boulders, I guess.
Yeah.
But then create a wrestling ring kind of thing on the fence. And we had Royal Rumbles.
I know. We awesome. Started to get in trouble after. I feel Battle Royals. Would used to be real announcements over the PA system at school about throwing snow and being violent outside and having snow wars and such. I feel that's a very uniquely Canadian experience.
Always was. Yeah, always
but
was.
There's always violence on the snow hill outside of recess.
I mean, kids gonna be kids. Kids are going to be kids, and it was a lot of fun back in the day. I hope the kids are still out there having battle royals and rolling snowmen and throwing snowballs at each other.
I have to tell you, Amy, I did put up the tree last night. I was successful.
Nice.
Pretty cute.
I saw it on IG.
It was sideways this morning. I don't know.
Oh, the cat got in there.
I don't know which one was responsible. Oh. They were both looking pretty guilty this morning. I might have to figure out a bungee cord situation, but they were terrified of it this morning when I woke up, which might be a win. Because I think them knocking it over...
They got in there and realized, oh, crap.
I think them knocking it over really made them fear the tree, it was some sort of monster.
Ah.
So now I think I'm in the dub column. Okay. But I'll keep you in the loop.
That's something that we will need to get updates on, probably on a daily basis.
We're at one crash so far.
JT's tree versus the cats. We'll see how that goes. We'll continue to tee up tonight's on-ice battle with the Leafs and Devils.
Both riveting battles.
Ken Danico is going to join us also in the 1 o'clock hour to continue that. But on the other side, we're going to get to our Thursday three-pack, where we'll probably continue to talk about the Devils because we're looking at three teams who've been pleasant surprises and three teams who've been big disappointments so far. I'm Mike DiStefano with Julia Teixeira. You listen to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
This is Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Count to three.
Yeah.
That's your big advice, count to three?
Yeah.
Whenever you get scared about anything, you just do this. Just count to three and then do it.
So I give you to the count of three.
1, 2, 3, not only you and me, got 180 degrees, and I'm cold.
Get out of your vehicle lease ASAP. Over 200,000 customers per month looking to take over your lease. What a relief. Go to leasebusters.com. It's Thursday. It means Craig Button, and it also means our Thursday 3-pack.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we're really close to that American Thanksgiving mark in the NHL season where the legend goes that you really know what you have in an NHL team at that point in the year. And right now our Thursday 3-pack is going to be more of a Thursday 3-pack, but they're going to be the most surprising teams in the NHL. So we have the most surprising teams in a good way, and we have the most surprising teams in a bit more of a tragic fashion, if you will. Let's start with the happy ones, and we can go from bottom to top here, because the number one pleasant surprise, though it's not a really pleasant if you're a Leaf fan on this specific Thursday, November 14th, because they are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's got to be the New Jersey Devils as the most pleasant surprise in the NHL this year.
Yeah, it's the 17th, by the way.
What did I say?
14th. I was like, today's the 14th? Did we miss a couple days here?
Oh,
but
that's
anyways.
Really funny.
Anyway, but the New Jersey Devils, 100%. They've got to be the biggest surprise. Like, this is a team that didn't make the playoffs last year and didn't really, the last couple of seasons haven't played well. And then all of a sudden, this year, they started out 0-2 and have gone on a 13-1 stretch since. They've won 10 in a row. Went from Lindy Ruff getting booed on home ice after two
full
games.
Full fire Lindy, not even just a boo.
Just getting booed, fire Lindy, and then 10 games later, they're getting sorry Lindy chants.
That is hilarious, and I commend New Jersey Devils fans for the creativity levels of those
respect,
chants.
Respect.
Major respect. AB, did you, like, when I looked at this Devils court, felt like it had been year after year of, oh, this will be the year. I bet the Devils will take a step. I think
I've been that, like, this, that is the team for me, where every year I'm saying, okay, I think this is the year.
And every year it feels like a hipster pick. I think 2 years, remember when they picked up PK and he was going there and the thought was, okay, like this will help, this score kind of help.
I don't know about the PK addition, but
that PK addition at the time, but they made a whole bunch of acquisitions that same summer. Like, was that the first or second year of Jack Hughes?
I believe that would have been the first year.
I felt like they made a whole bunch of moves that year that kind of got my attention. Mm-hmm. I hate that just PK and Jack Hughes are coming to my mind, but I feel like they did a few things that year that were promising, and maybe that was when Mac Blackwood was really hot as well, and he's had a hard time with injuries and consistency since then, but they seem to have found a solution in Vanecek. But I don't know, there was like year after year of this team where I was like, oh, this is the year, and the last 2 years I've been like, no.
See, I'm opposite.
I'm over it.
It's funny. I am opposite, because last year was the first year where I said, okay, I think this team could take the step.
Right.
And they didn't. But then going into it this year, it's like, okay, I think this could potentially be the year that they do. Just because if they could stay healthy, it's always been about health for this team, because that's been a massive issue with them.
Yeah.
And this year they've been very healthy, right? So if they can continue to do that, like, you take a look at the underlying numbers, they're number one in the league in expected goals for, and sitting in number one in the league in expected goals against.
Yeah.
So they're top offensive team, the top defensive team, and they've gotten expected goals of 62%.
It's not accidental. Like, sometimes when these teams get, like, a la Buffalo Sabres, a la, who else? A la Ottawa Senators, actually, who had like a couple good stretches
really
to start the season,
home
and they
run,
and
that
they
first home stretch
fool us. But at the time, we're looking at the numbers. And
Florida,
we say,
the first like 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah, but you look at the numbers and you're like, okay, the experts tell us this is not sustainable.
I remember, I think it was when you had the plague, as we now call
right?
it. I remember getting on here and we were talking about, I think it was like the biggest surprises of the first couple of weeks of the season. And to me, it was like the fact that the Philadelphia Flyers
got
off
was
to the hot
one.
Start. And I'm like, their underlying numbers are awful.
Right.
Awful. They were like, I think they were 6-2 or something like that, but we're like the third worst team in the league when you looked and dove into the numbers.
Carter Hart,
they were just getting a
mine.
.950 save percentage out of Carter Hart, which we knew was not going to continue. But the New Jersey Devils, those numbers have consistently been there from the start of the season, even when they lost those first two games. Like, you look at those first, that's why I was so surprised to hear the Fire Lindy chants back, because I looked at the number, I'm like, man, they're not getting a save.
No.
But they are out there, and they are putting on an offensive onslaught and just can't get a save. And, like, no team has more shots on goal this year than the New Jersey Devils. Almost 500 shots already. No team has scored more goals than the New Jersey Devils, all at 5-on-5. So this is a really, really talented hockey team coming into Toronto tonight. And for me, they've been the biggest surprise. Like, I expected them to be in the playoff mix. I didn't expect for them to be in contention to win this division. And right now at 13-3, as we approach American Thanksgiving in a week today, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, this team looks legit. They really look legit. And, you know, Craig said it, they're maturing, and they're all maturing at the same time. They've got this young core. You know, Jack Hughes, 21. He's starting to pick it up. They've got Nico
Hischier.
He
was specifically really derailed last year. He had that great overtime winner where he threw a stick into the crowd, and then the next game he crunched up his shoulder.
He didn't, though. Didn't he end up? Yeah, he did. You're right, because of injuries.
Yeah.
He ended up getting out.
Sorry, but that's what I mean.
Yeah, he was like
derailed
over a point per game. But
in the games that, yeah, sorry.
And that kind of hurt the team, right? But this year, they are definitely, you know, the biggest surprise this season. Keep going down the list. When we found out that Robin Leonard was going to be missing potentially the entire year, and the Vegas Golden Knights goaltending situation was going to be, well, at the time, it was Larry Brassois,
yeah,
and Logan Thompson. They since made a trade to acquire Aiden Hill
after promising
in the off
wouldn't.
Season. And so that's been the tandem. I think I do recall something about that.
Kelly McCrimmon came out and said, "We're not going to acquire another goaltender," and then 2 days later,
and then they did.
Like, you lied. It's like it's hockey. Yeah,
yeah, of course.
What was
going
to do? Tell you?
But who would have thought that that club with that goaltending would be the number one team in the Western Conference?
Not me.
No.
I think I had them making the playoffs this year, though, AB.
Yep,
I did think
too.
They were going to miss 2 years in a row, but I'm also not sure that I saw them being the force that they were, that they are, rather, so far this season.
And a 9-game winning streak.
Yeah. Heater, if you will.
That's, I would clarify that, qualify that as a heater for sure.
Yep.
Right? 13-4 on the year. They are tied with the New Jersey Devils in points, but one more game played, so points percentage they're down, but they're only 2 points away from Boston too. Like those three teams, I don't think anyone expected any of those three teams at this point in the year to be the top three squads in the NHL.
Yeah, Boston is our third one, and Boston, like every year we sit here and we're like, is this the year Boston falls off? And we do the same thing with Pittsburgh and Washington. Now we're kind of looking at them like, ooh, is this actually?
Yeah, but then they get it going in the.
Then they get it going. Then they get it going, and they make the playoffs. Boston this year was, I had very low expectations for, not as a result of an aging core or anything like that, but they had a stupid amount of injuries to start the year. McAvoy didn't start the year. Marchand didn't start the year. Swayman's Grizzly. Gone down. Grizzlick's gone down. Who else?
Brandon Carlo missed some time.
Yes. Have they had a goalie moment, too? Have they
had, like, Swayman.
I'm thinking about Allmark right now. Did
no, Allmark's been
well?
Unreal. He's
I don't
been
know,
unreal.
But they were decimated with injuries. It was nothing to do with the way anyone was playing. It was,
and they weren't supposed to be back until, like, December. Like, at the beginning of the season, at this point in the year, we didn't think that either Marchand or McAvoy would be back. And Marchand's been back for, like, a month.
Yeah, they were supposed to miss, like, the first 2 months or 3 months of the
yeah.
season. It's, you know, we talked yesterday about the healing shaman that they have in their training room, who I would love if they
would
recommended
be nice.
Around the league.
Would be nice.
But yeah, those three teams are our pleasant surprises. We have the New York Islanders and the Seattle Kraken as our honorable mentions because they've been good thus far too. I think Seattle was just so terrible this year that a little bit of improvement is really promising to see. And New York didn't do anything over the summer, but and everybody Johnny Gaudreau
changed
getting,
their coach, right?
Yeah.
Out goes Barry Trotz, in came Lane Lambert, and everyone's like, "What are you doing?"
That was the only thing.
It's worked out well.
It's been fine. You know what was hilarious when Johnny Gaudreau was in?
He got booed.
He was getting booed
everywhere. This whole trip that he went to New York, New Jersey.
Jersey made more sense because it was actually a possibility and they look like a way better team than Columbus, so it's like, stick it to them. But the hilarious thing was when after the game, Gaudreau said, "I didn't even talk to the Islanders once during the whole thing." So this is awkward. It was kind of like that.
Well,
I don't know. Like, if somebody's
time,
talking smack about you, and then you're like, "Oh,
yeah,
I've never even heard of you before."
They were rumored, but it was like, "Oh, they can't afford him. They can't really go
yeah.
through the money. Like, where's the money going to come from?" That was kind of the situation there, and why I don't think the Islanders. But the fact that they're 11-6 right now, fifth in the NHL, definitely a big time surprise. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've been playing some solid hockey, and what's weird about it is Matt Barzal yet to score a goal. This team is 11-6, fifth in the NHL. Matt Barzal, right now, the leading candidate for the Cy Young. 0 goals, 18 assists.
Nuts.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable out of Matt Barzal. Why don't we take a break, actually, and we can come back and we could do our three disappointments to start the season.
I like it.
A couple of clubs who we thought maybe this is the year they take the jump hasn't quite panned out that way. So we'll do that. Ken Danico going to join us also in the 1 o'clock hour, as will Mark Masters, who's down at Leafs Gate. He'll help us tee up the game from a Maple Leafs perspective tonight as they take on the New Jersey Devils. I'm Mike DiStefano with Julia Teixeira. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Matthews has done it again!
Now, back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Leafs Lunch is brought to you by Vanilla Visa prepaid cards available at Petro-Canada, the perfect gift for any occasion. Okay, we did our biggest surprises in a positive way, and now we'll look to our biggest disappointments, I suppose, in a more negative context. AB, some teams that have underperformed or have just been straight up bad thus far this season. It's got to be St. Louis right at the top of the list, right?
I would think so. Like, the Blues, for me, is a team that I think we all anticipated, yep, locked to make the playoffs, and they still might make the playoffs. I think that they've kind of righted the ship the last couple of games.
Two wins now, I think, in a row?
Yeah, so
they have their mom's trip going on right now. They've got all the moms on the road, and it's inspiring.
They've won four in a row.
Okay, that's great.
So after that terrible start, they've now won four in a row. So, you know, they're starting to pick it up, so yeah. I think maybe... maybe they should be more of an honorable mention now that I look. I forgot. I knew that they had won a couple games. I didn't realize it was four in a row, to be quite honest.
No, I thought it was two.
But they did lose like six in a row. They went on a skid. They're starting to write the ship. But still, like, they're currently, what, 26th in the NHL?
Yeah.
Like, despite winning four in a row, they're still that low.
You know where they would probably prefer to be is dead last.
What? Yes. Because last time they were dead last, they went on to win a Stanley Cup, because that's clearly
what their formula is. Was that a Christmas, AB, or was that an American Thanksgiving?
It was New Year's.
Oh, my God.
New Year's, they were dead last in the NHL.
Right.
I think it was maybe like Jan 30th.
Yeah.
Like that late into the season.
There was
a
practice fight.
They made the coaching change. There was a practice fight.
And
then? They made the change, and then...
Everything was
Gloria.
Great. Gloria, they played Gloria forever.
They played Gloria, and it was a glorious ending to the year. We got to hear... We went Blues a billion and one times, which
I always love listening to
St.
Louis really showed up and showed out for that Stanley Cup.
They did.
I must say that.
But so they're one that definitely has to be up there, just because we expected them to be maybe a top 10 team this season. Always in contention there. But
with
right now,
Kyrou and Thomas, they were supposed to take another step. They both got these sexy deals.
They've been disappointing.
This past summer, they've been disappointing to start. Their older guys have looked a little bit older. I heard... MJ, I know the Ryan O'Reilly name circulates on Leafs Twitter fairly often. I heard MJ say Ryan O'Reilly by name.
It'd be a good fit, right?
Yesterday. Yeah,
well, I think he noted that maybe it was earlier this week. He did a hit kind of linking some players and
right.
whatnot, some struggling guys.
Just exclusively when it comes to play and like.
Yeah, and he said like that would be a good fit, right? If they brought in Ryan O'Reilly, that would be such a great fit to have. Matthews, Tavares, O'Reilly, but I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either, but you know how I feel about it.
I also think that this team is like they're putting it together. They've already started to. They've won four
yeah.
in a row, and they're starting to get the goaltending again. Bennington's starting to play a little bit better. So
he had a sweet
I don't think they'll have
save
a full,
last night.
Full fire sale.
I think it might have been Jay's highlight of the night last night of Bennington's save. So he's kind of
nice.
Got it on the rails now too. The Ottawa, gosh darn Senators.
Yeah, because so that was the sexy team that everybody thought. Okay, this is the year. This is what New Jersey was a year ago, right? Where there maybe everyone's at just 1 year too early. There's still a couple of holes that's in this lineup. Goaltending is still an issue.
You and I both didn't think they were going to make the playoffs this year.
We didn't, but a lot of people did. But I also expected them to be a lot more competitive than they have been this year.
See, I feel like this is like why does this happen to Ottawa every year? They have a terrible
awful start
to the season, and
awful.
But it wasn't even that terrible to start. They had like 2 weeks to start the season where everything was positive. They had that homestand where they ripped off like five in a row or something like that. That was overly positive. And then
they
do a nosedive in November. And then March comes around.
They've picked up five of a possible 20 points in the last 10
terrible.
Games.
Terrible. And then March comes around and they start to get really hot. And every year, poor Ottawa Senators fans and Ryan Reynolds are thinking to themselves, like, if you would have played this way. Yeah, I expected them to be playing meaningful games down the stretch, and now I just don't know if they're going to be doing that. Like, when you drop that many points in a short amount of time, it catches up to you.
The Artem Zub injury really put a damper on things there, right? Like, he was kind of their stabilizer on the defense. Outside of that, they're super young. I mean, there was expectation that Jake Sanderson, their first-round pick from a couple of years ago, was going to come in and be this phenom on the blue line, but like, he's 20 years old. He's never played in the National Hockey League. I think maybe he got a couple of games in last year at the end, potentially after college. But, you know, you can't lean on him to be your number one at 20 years old. So, and Zaitsev they ended up getting waived, and I don't even know what he's doing right now. He's not really playing with the team. So there's a lot of question marks on that blue line if they do want to get back into the hunt here. But that's a team where the coaching staff's got to be a little worried at this point. Like, there were very high expectations that this team was going to at least take that step. Were they going to make the playoffs? Perhaps not. But were they at least going to be in games, and were they going to fight to the very end? Will they get off to a better start this year than they did for the last couple of seasons? And they haven't really checked off those boxes. I don't know how long of a leash I guess that coaching staff has at this point. Pierre Dorion might try and make a change just to try and get something going. Perhaps a trade could come first to try and shore up that blue line. But, yeah, they've been a big disappointment right now, sitting 29th in the NHL after the big offseason that they had. And then the last one that we have on our list is the Vancouver Canucks. And, oof, have they really, really struggled
here
lately.
What a terrible, terrible situation in Vancouver.
Oh, man. It's. I feel so bad for friend of the show, Brucey Boudreaux.
I feel bad for everybody involved. Like, it just sounds like it's a kind of bit of a clown show down there right now. It's not very good.
They're getting the worst goaltending. Like, they're to a point now where Thatcher Demko and Spencer Martin are alternating starts. And I have Thatcher Demko in fantasy, and it's really pissing me off.
I'm sorry about that
is happening.
You.
I'll be honest. It's really my two fantasy goaltenders, Thatcher Demko and Jacob Markstrom, both have not gone off to good starts this
not
year.
Not the best.
No. It has not been the best. It's been really tough. I've lost a lot of matchups because I'm getting dummied in the goalie categories. But that's besides the point. But Thatcher Demko hasn't been it. Bo Horvat, though, sneakily, 14 goals, second in the NHL in goals this year. If that's a trade chip, like, if Vancouver decides...
Well,
okay,
that's another thing that's giving me disarray. Like, how can... The captain just seems like he's not being treated well, and he's such a heart and soul guy to me.
I know, but look, the blue line, it's similar to Ottawa. If you don't have a blue line...
And they do not have a blue line.
It could be tough. If you don't have the blue line and your goalie's not bailing you out, like you saw Demko do last year
during
when they
the
went
Boudreaux
on the stretch...
Bump.
That's going to be troublesome.
Yeah.
And that's the big reason why Ottawa and Vancouver are both down at the bottom of the standings in 29th and 30th. Bad goaltending, and they got horrid blue lines.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many goals you can score when you're giving up 6 or 7 a night.
No.
So that's another team, too, where expected them to be in the playoff hunt, and oh, it's gone oh so south and very, very sticky situation in Vancouver. All right. On the other side, actually, first... let me tell you about the Air Canada Fan Flight Contest with TSN 1050, because it's your chance to see the Maple Leafs in Nashville. Man, I would love to actually be on this flight with you, to be honest. Listen to First Up every weekday for the Fan Flight Keyword of the Day. If you hear it, be sure to tune into Overdrive that same day. When you hear the cue to call, the first caller through at 416-870-1050 with the correct keyword wins a Google Nest Mini and qualifies for the grand prize draw, an Air Canada Fan Flight trip for four to Nashville to see the Maple Leafs in action. For full contest details, head to TSN1050.ca. I'm Mike DiStefano. She's Julia Tesheri. Ken Danico, Mark Masters coming up in the second hour of Leafs Lunch.